This is Dana Monsees, the nutritionist and Whole30 certified coach behind Real Food with Dana, and you're listening to the Real Talk with Dana podcast, where we talk all things nutrition, health, fitness, and mindset with a healthy side of sarcasm. Hey guys, so time for another solo episode of the podcast today. This one is going to be juicy. It's going to get a little bit messy. It's going to get a little bit uncomfortable, but I think it's going to be extremely helpful for a lot of people. So today's episode is called Stop Doing the Whole 30. Or so many of them anyways. And so as you can tell, this is probably going to be a pretty controversial podcast, and I'm not sorry about it. And this is definitely one of those times where their spoiler alert will most likely be cursing, because I have been getting really, really heated about this topic, just talking with my friends, in my own head, thinking about all of the different things that I want to tell you guys on this podcast. And because I'm probably going to get pretty passionate here, I can't guarantee you that there's not going to be any cursing here. So before we get started, you might be thinking, wait a minute, Dana. First of all, you are a Whole30 coach, so shouldn't you be telling us to do the Whole30 all the time, or at least three times a year, January, May, and September, or whatever? And didn't you just run a May group? Well, one of those things is true. Yes, I just ran a May group, and I also ran one in January. And there were also a bunch of people in my group that wanted to do one in March and wanted to do one in April, and I did not run one then. And there are a lot of reasons behind that. And yes, I am a Whole30 coach, but that does not mean that I want you to be doing Whole30s all the time. In fact, if you're using the Whole30 in the right way as it's intended to be used, and we're going to get into this, you shouldn't be doing them all the time. So I'm just going to jump right in here. If you've done more Whole30s than you can count, if you're doing a full Whole30 reset or a full Whole30 every other month, if you're doing a Whole60 or a Whole100 or even longer, and not for the first time we're talking about here, but for like the upteenth time, you've done so many of them you can't even count, this is the time to reevaluate what you're doing with your Whole30 life and your food freedom life. Because I don't know about you, but doing six Whole30s in 1 year, or five or seven, or maybe three full Whole30s and then four resets throughout the year, doesn't sound like true health and food freedom to me. It sounds like you're tied to the rules of the Whole30 program and you're bouncing between those rules and feeling totally out of control, making food decisions that you know won't make you feel good, but you make them anyways, and basically going off the rails when you're not doing Whole30s. So take a step back. Does this sound truly healthy and sustainable to you? So what we're going to be talking about today is digging deep into the motivations of why you keep doing so many Whole30s. So again, this is not to cut you down, to discourage you, or to make you stop doing Whole30s forever. That is not my goal here. This is to give you some hard-learned advice from my own experience and tons of mistakes with the Whole30 that I personally made, and working with a ton of clients through this kind of stuff, plus some of the total bullshit that I've seen people do with the Whole30 on social media, because this stuff is getting totally out of hand and so far removed from what the original program was intended to do, which is to actually help people to get a better handle on their health, their habits, and their relationship with food. So for some people, it takes a really long time to come to these realizations, and that is a totally okay thing. This is not something that you can realize during your first Whole30, after your second one, and sometimes not even after your third one. Sometimes you need to make a lot of mistakes on your own food freedom and Whole30 journey to come to these realizations. So with this podcast, I'm going to try and help jumpstart you guys here so you don't have to go through a lot of the same crap that I've had to go through and that a lot of my clients are having to go through. So it's not easy to do this. It's not comfortable to hear these things and talk about these things, but it's something you really need to dig into if you truly want a healthy relationship with food in your body, which I would argue everyone should want and most people do want, but they just don't know how to get there. And I don't want you to have to rely on a dietary reset program your entire life in order to feel good about yourself. Think of it this way. So this podcast specifically is to encourage you to critically think and dig deep about the reason behind why you're doing the Whole 30. What is your motivation behind it? It might be weight loss. It might be you're trying to make your cravings go away. It might be that you're trying to get a better handle on what foods make you feel good and what foods don't. But dig deep, because there's probably something behind that, behind the weight loss, behind your cravings. Why do you want to lose weight? Why are you having all these cravings in the first place? What are you doing, or what were you doing before this Whole 30 that made you want to do this one in the first place? And the thing is, these motivations are probably going to change Whole 30 by Whole 30. The motivation behind doing your first Whole 30 is very, very different behind the motivation doing your seventh Whole 30 or your third Whole 30 or whatever it is. And you'll find that some, once you really think about it, some of the motivations behind doing a Whole 30 are much healthier mentally, emotionally, and physically, both for the short and long term, than others. Also, disclaimer before we get too much into the weeds here. If you have a medical or autoimmune condition for which the Whole 30 is truly healing for you, I'm not saying that you should stop eating primarily Whole 30. There is absolutely nothing wrong with doing specific dietary protocols in a therapeutic way to heal or put into remission certain health conditions. However, even so, let's make sure that you don't fall into the on-again, off-again Whole 30 wagon camp, because for people who have autoimmune disease or medical conditions, it might be even more damaging for your symptoms if you're going on-again, off-again with these foods than it would be for someone who doesn't experience the same symptoms that you do. So now, let's dig into the different motivations for doing Whole 30s and Whole 30 resets and see which camp you fit into for your most recent one. Again, this is not to cut you down, to say you're doing something wrong. It's more for you to do some critical thinking here about what your personal motivations are for doing the Whole 30 and how you might want to take a different approach to doing your next one. So to be clear, we're not talking about with these motivations your first ever Whole 30 or even your second one. Those are fitting into a totally different category. Here, you're a seasoned Whole 30 veteran, you have a few under your belt, you know how the program affects your mood, your digestion, your waistline, your energy, and how you feel after you do the program. So here's the classic January Whole 30, also known as the classic American, I need to clean up my diet, New Year's resolution stuff, January 1st. So all of the holiday season, maybe it's December, maybe it started at Halloween with eating some candy. You're basically just eating all of the things and indulging in things that you don't normally during the year, during the holiday season, which is totally fine to a certain extent, to the point where until the point where you start feeling like crap about your decisions and all of these things, right? So the classic January Whole 30 is crap. I really overindulged over the holidays. I probably gained some weight. My sugar dragon is raging. I probably have some other yucky symptoms that are going on. So I want to do a Whole 30 to reset my cravings and get all of the crap out of my system. And okay, let's do this January 1. I'm so in, all in. Let's do this. Now, there's another kind of January Whole 30, and this usually happens later in the Whole 30 process. So you've probably done a couple different Whole 30s over the course of a couple of years to reach this point. So this is the other January Whole 30. It's the beginning of the year, and for me, I want to set off on a good foot by resetting my taste buds. I didn't go totally overboard during the holidays, but I can definitely see my sugar dragon coming out more than I'd like to see, so I need a little bit of reset. So most people are in one of those two camps whenever they do the January Whole 30 especially, but also a September 1 and, you know, whenever it is during the year. But there are two very different scenarios of what happens afterwards for these people. So the first one I'm going to talk about is the second January Whole 30. That sounds a little bit more moderate, right? It's just a little bit of a reset on your taste buds and stuff. These people most likely will do a pretty solid reintroduction process if they haven't done one already. Maybe they want to try out some different foods than they did from last time, and it's a very, maybe a slow roll approach, or basically, these people aren't going to go totally off the wagon when they hit day 30. They're like, okay, I'm feeling pretty good. I want to reintroduce a couple of foods and see how that does. But, you know, I'm not, the Super Bowl might be this weekend, but I'm not going to drink a whole bunch of beer, eat a bunch of tacos, you know, do whatever it is that you like to enjoy on the Super Bowl in an excessive amount, because you know it's going to make you feel like absolute crap afterwards. Now, on the other side, the classic January Whole 30, and I'm going to speak from experience because this has happened to me. You go through the Whole 30 and you feel great. You're like, wow, you know, my sugar dragon is under control and feeling really good, and my food choices, like everything is going great. But man, I really miss all of these other foods that I can't have. I'm not letting myself have these foods during the Whole 30, and I cannot wait to make them when I am done. So you go into your reintroduction with the best of intentions. You're like, okay, I'm just going to try, you know, a chocolate chip cookie on day one, or have a beer, or whatever it is. And then it goes totally out of control. And here's the thing about sugar, is it is addictive as crack for anyone. Even if you haven't been eating it for a really long time, and then you start to eat sugar again, it is really freaking addictive. So as soon as you wake up your sugar taste buds again, they're going to be like, okay, I want more. Where is all the sugar? And that is basically what happens immediately as soon as you start eating sugar again after your Whole 30. Now, the difference is with the classic January Whole 30 of, okay, I want to eat all the things, you do eat all the things. So say it's the Super Bowl or whatever holiday is after your Whole 30, you're like, all right, I just want to eat one chocolate chip cookie, but that turns into eating the dough while you're making the chocolate chip cookies, ending up face first in the entire batch, and then maybe you have some wine afterwards, and you're like, man, I also wasn't allowed to eat macaroni and cheese, or maybe it's, you know, whatever it is, your other favorite foods when you weren't on the Whole 30, so you end up eating all of the things over the next couple of weeks. And then you're like, great, you know, I felt really, really good for 30 days when I was on the Whole 30, and now I feel like absolute crap again. So the natural solution is to do a Whole 30 reset, or to do a full Whole 30 then in March, or like a month later. And here is when the trap comes in, because you start to alternate between doing a Whole 30 and going totally off the wagon and not really learning much when you're in the off Whole 30 stage, which some people might say is actually the hardest part of the Whole 30. It's the reintroduction and finding your food freedom and not going totally overboard and feeling like absolute crap. So then when that happens, you feel like you need to do another Whole 30 in order to feel good again. That is not the goal of the Whole 30 or the intention of the Whole 30 program. It is not to alternate between, as Bailey said on my episode with her a couple of ones ago, it's not to alternate between doing a Whole 30 and margarita season. That is not the goal here, nor is that a healthy relationship with food, which is one of the goals of the Whole 30 program that a lot of people seem to forget about. Okay, I'm getting a little sidetracked here, but we're gonna get back on track. So here's where you're doing it wrong. You do a Whole 30 in January, you go off the walls in February. You do a reset in March, you go on vacation in April, and then you're like, all right, Whole 30 in May, gotta get my summer bod ready. Then during the summer, we eat all of the things, hello margarita season. Maybe you'll do a mini Whole 30 reset or two during the summer, and then another full Whole 30 in September, and maybe even one right before Thanksgiving, before the holidays roll around, because you know you're gonna do one again in January, so you don't need to do it through Christmas. And you know you're gonna eat all the things during the holidays, and you're gonna have that reset in January, so you need to get rid of those sugar dragon and those extra pounds in January, but that's okay because you know you're gonna have that January reset anyways. Now, it might sound like I'm over-exaggerating here, but I'm really not. And you probably know this, you probably have a friend that does this, it's all over social media. Guaranteed, if you follow a few people who have done the Whole 30 before at any given point in the year, there is someone that you probably follow that is doing the Whole 30, even through the holidays, through Christmas, through Valentine's Day, summer barbecues, Halloween's, even gosh dang Thanksgiving, okay? Like the one time of the year, and I know why people do this, Thanksgiving and the holidays are like the one time of the year when it is actually really acceptable to overindulge in things. Right? So some people will say, well, I don't want to overindulge in things, so I'm just going to do the Whole 30 through Christmas and maybe even through Thanksgiving, because if I have those Whole30 rules, then I have control over what I'm eating and I'm not going to overindulge in grandma's apple pie and any of that stuff. If you are relying on the Whole30 to reset your cravings and how you're feeling that often, you are not fixing your relationship with food. In fact, I would say you're actually yo-yo dieting. Yeah, I said it. And you might get super offended by that because in the Whole30 world, we're not supposed to talk about the Whole30 as a dieting tool because it's not supposed to be used as one. But that is how people are using it now. If you are doing the Whole30 every other month, you are yo-yo dieting and there is no sugarcoating it. That is what you are doing. So if that is what you realize that you're doing, then you need to acknowledge that. So don't sugarcoat it and say, oh no, I'm not yo-yo dieting because I'm using the Whole30. No, you can use the Whole30 as a yo-yo dieting tool. Is it supposed to be used in that way? No. Let's get back to our Whole30 roots here. So as a reminder, the Whole30 is to be used as a tool every once in a while. If you think way back to the original program Rules and Intentions, the Whole30 is a 30-day reset on your health, your habits, and your relationship with food. And finding your food freedom does not mean that you are living in a state of alternating between Whole30 season and margarita season. If you are using it in that way, don't kid yourself. That is not healthy. That's yo-yo dieting. So here are some of the warning signs that you're using the Whole30 in this way, aside from doing about, you know, more than three Whole30s in the course of 1 year. So if you plan your Whole30s around your vacations, you might be in this camp. So at first glance, you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't actually sound like that bad of an idea. Now, doing a mini Whole30 reset after a vacation might be just fine. But here's the thing. When you plan your Whole30s or your resets around your vacations, here is the mentality that this leads to. A basically, F it, I'm going to eat all of the things on vacation and let my sugar dragon roar one last time before going out with a bang because I know when I get back from vacation, we're on a Whole30 again and I won't be able to eat all these things. So I'm just going to eat them now. So bring on the donuts, the venti Starbucks caramel lattes, the desserts, the pancakes, the wine, all the fun vacation things because I know I'm not going to let myself eat those things when I get home and I'm going to reset my sugar dragon anyways. So this, my friends, is the mentality of someone who binge eats, okay? And that is super uncomfortable for some people to think about. But this is why we're digging into these motivations, because I only want the best for you guys, and I don't want you to make the same mistakes that I did and that a lot of my clients did and fall into disordered eating patterns by using the Whole30. And don't kid yourself by saying you're just enjoying your food freedom on vacation when you do this, because you can enjoy your food freedom without consuming donuts, pancakes, cakes, brownies, wine, and sugar-filled Starbucks drinks for every day of your vacation. How about we set a new goal for vacation? To enjoy yourself when you're there, have your wine, maybe some dessert, maybe a super delicious cinnamon roll like the one that I had right outside of Portland, or treats from a gluten-free bakery that you'd never be able to have at home, but not feel like absolute crap when you get back and feel like you need to go on a crash diet or a Whole30 because of all of the stuff you ate when you were on vacation. How about that? Doesn't that sound like a great vacation where you actually get to enjoy yourself and indulge in certain things and not feel like total crap and you have to beat yourself up when you get back? So this is a quote that I shared on Instagram recently, and it really resonated with a lot of people right when I got back from my Iceland and Denmark vacation a couple weeks ago. So when you skip a workout, you eat too much, you eat some cake or drink some wine, sleep in, whatever it is, it doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you human. Welcome to the club. There are 7 billion of us. So a lot of people carry guilt coming back from vacations. Food guilt over indulging in things they don't normally eat at home. It's not on your macros plan. It's not on your Whole30, whatever. Maybe you have some guilt over not exercising as much as you usually do at home. Guilt over drinking because you don't normally drink at home. All of the guilt. So know what happens when you get home. Cue the juice cleanse, the under-eating, the over-exercising when you get home, maybe doing a Whole30. This used to be me. But the thing is, it doesn't have to be this way. This vacation, I was gone for 2 weeks in Iceland and Denmark. I only worked out once the entire time, aside from hiking in Iceland. I did not sleep enough. Hello, jet lag and spending so many hours on planes. I did not eat enough vegetables or fruit. I definitely wasn't eating the most optimal food since half the time I could only eat snacks when we were there. But was I stressed about it when I got back? No, because I enjoyed my vacation and I enjoyed the time when I was there and I didn't feel like crap when I got back. Because here is the thing. When you make peace with your body and you make peace with your food and your food choices, you don't feel the need to overindulge on vacation. And if it does happen, which it totally does, you don't beat yourself up about it because it's, you know, it's not your norm. You don't immediately do a Whole 30 when you get back because you feel so bad about all the indulgences you chose on vacation. A few days of going back to your regular eating, regular sleeping, regular exercise routine, and maybe a couple of extra vegetables in there, and you are gonna be just fine. No juice cleanse, no intermittent fasting, no macros, no extra cardio required, maybe a couple days of a Whole 30 reset, but not really planned, and not an entire Whole 30 reset. Now, on the other hand, you might think the solution to this is, well, okay, I'm just going to do a Whole 30 during my vacation. Now, if you want a surefire way to make your vacation suck or way less fun than it should be, do a Whole 30. Not because of the actual food choices you're going to be making, because most people will find that they feel their best when they eat mostly Whole 30 anyways. But do you know how much of a pain it is when you're on vacation and just want to be enjoying your company and your food and the new place that you're in, and you have to ask the servers at every single restaurant you go to 5 million questions about what's going in your food and about all of the dietary restrictions you have, and then you don't get to enjoy any of the regional specialties or house specials or stuff wherever you are because they only have plain chicken and vegetables that can accommodate your Whole 30 rules? That doesn't sound like fun at all. Another warning sign that you might fall into this camp of on the Whole 30, off the Whole 30, yo-yo dieting wagon is that you fall off the wagon totally each time during reintroduction because you do so well on the Whole 30 rules that when those rules are removed, you don't know how to function. This leads to the alternating between the Whole 30 season and margarita season. And as we've already said, this is basically yo-yo dieting because if you don't know how to function off the Whole 30, it might be time to stop doing the Whole 30 because you're relying on that as a crutch, as the only way that you now know how to make your body feel good. It's now the only way that you know how to eat healthily. So here is my advice. You learn a lot of things during your Whole 30 and a lot of things during your reintroduction, but if you're in this camp, you're probably not learning a ton during your reintroduction except how to wake up your sugar dragon again, how to feel like crap, and then how to do another Whole 30. So during the Whole 30, it's a really good idea to journal, maybe do the day-by-day book, definitely work with a coach if you're dealing with any of these issues, and think about the things that truly make you feel good during your Whole 30. And take those things into your food freedom. So for example, if you learn that you feel really, really good following the Whole 30 eating template of eating proteins and vegetables and plated fats and eating some starchy carbohydrates after your workouts, take that plan and put it into your food freedom life. But don't set that as the end-all, be-all, absolute rules that you have to follow every single day. For example, for me, I know I feel really good if I eat mostly savory breakfasts with like eggs or sausage or bacon and some vegetables in the morning. But if I eat a smoothie for breakfast or like, God forbid, I have some like Simple Mills pancakes or something on the weekends, that doesn't mean I need to immediately go back to all three Whole 30 meals every single day because that's just one day out of the week. And that can be part of your food freedom. Just because you eat something that's different from your guidelines of what makes you feel your best in your food choices, it doesn't mean if you go off those guidelines that you're totally off the walls and you're like, oh, throw my hands up, I ate some pancakes for breakfast today, so now for the next 7 days, I'm just going to eat pancakes every day, even though I know if tomorrow I just went back to eating my eggs and bacon and some veggies for breakfast, I would feel a lot better. No Whole 30 reset or full Whole 30 required. Now, let's dig into why these things might be happening to you or why you might be falling into one of these camps. Last week on the podcast with Michelle Smiths, we talked about the whole abstainer versus moderator thing in terms of the Whole30. So abstainers are people that do really, really well on the Whole30 program because they do super well with the yes-no foods lists of the program. It's black and white. It's easy for you because the decision has already been made for you. You find freedom within the rules. I get it. At night, when you're craving a dessert or some chocolate or some wine, yeah, it stinks that you can't have it, but it really doesn't matter because you're on the Whole30 and you've told yourself and all of your accountability buddies and probably your entire Instagram that this is what you're doing. You're not eating fill in the blank for 30 days or 60 or 100, so you don't eat the thing. For abstainers, or those people that do really well with the black and white rules, it's either I'm doing this all in or I'm not doing it at all. So the actual part of the Whole30 program, the 30 days, is pretty much fine for them after they get over the first initial hump of all of those lovely Charlie Sheen style symptoms that we all have. You're sticking to your rules and you're good. But what about when it comes time for reintroduction or testing out how you do with your sugar dragon and finding your food freedom? For abstainers, this is where the really hard part comes in. Because as I was saying before, the Whole30 has basically become the only way where they feel good about their food choices. You feel totally in control because you're following the rules that someone else prescribed for you for this program. You know what the program is going to do, and there is no choice involved for you. It's already been made. You actually feel a little bit freed because you don't have to make any choices about your food. It's already been done for you. You don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to eat dessert tonight because the decision has already been made. It's now become your default crash diet whenever you're feeling out of control, if you've overindulged, if you're not feeling good about your body, your cravings, or your waistline. Using the Whole30 in this way is not healthy or sustainable or a good relationship with food and your body. There, I said it. You're welcome. Probably not you're welcome because you probably didn't like to hear that. But people are forgetting about the relationship with food part of the Whole30 as a 30-day reset on your health, your habits, and your relationship with food. Here's the thing to dig into. Why do you feel so out of control? Well, I feel so out of control because I've been eating a lot of sugar and other things lately that aren't on the Whole30, and so my cravings are crazy and I've gained a little bit of weight and I want to lose that again. But why did that happen in the first place? Why do you think you keep alternating between Whole30 season and margarita season or eating all the things season? It probably, honestly, does not have to do with the food itself. It's probably something in your personal life or your work life, in your relationships, something else that is making you want to reach out to control something, anything, because of other stuff you can't control or you feel like is outside of your control. It's also worth saying that it's not only the Whole30 here that's where this is a common problem. I see it with keto, I see it with people going on and off macros, basically with any label. People go on, they go off, and they keep going back and forth between whatever label they choose, whether it's macros, Whole30, paleo, keto, vegan, vegetarian, South Beach, Atkins, whatever it is, they just keep going back and forth. But what about just finding a middle ground of actually finding what foods make you feel your best, eating that way most of the time, and then allowing for other foods every once in a while, but not going totally ham on them, overindulging, feeling like crap physically, mentally, and emotionally beating yourself up and getting caught in the binge, guilt, and restrict cycle and then needing to do another Whole30. There is a reason that in the Whole30 book, it says people with a history of eating disorders or disordered eating should not do the Whole30. And the reason is because it can become extremely obsessive, it can be triggering of those old behaviors, it can actually trigger an eating disorder. And these people can lean on it as a crutch and continue to restrict food and follow a yes-no foods list under the guise of, but I'm just eating real food, but you're not curing or helping heal any of these disordered behaviors. With eating disorders and disordered eating and body dysmorphia, a lot of people are using food as a control mechanism because there are other aspects in their life that they feel like they don't have any control over, which leads to the extreme behaviors that make a lot of people really uncomfortable to talk about. But here's the thing. How is the pre-Whole30 on vacation or post-Whole30 day 31 eat all the things fest so different than binge eating? How is the 1 month on the Whole30, 1 month off the Whole30, then back on again cycle so different from yo-yo dieting? And are either of these things truly healthy? If you saw your friend either yo-yo dieting or binge eating or engaged in disordered eating patterns, would you think that that is healthy? Because it's worth saying here, we talk to ourselves very, very differently than we talk to our friends or our loved ones or anyone else. The advice that you would give yourself and the honesty with which you have with yourself, that wasn't English, but you know what I mean, how honest you are with yourself is not the same level of honesty that you would share with other people or someone you were really close to. So are you really finding your food freedom? If after you eat your favorite foods during food freedom, you feel so guilty about them and your sugar dragon is raging so hard that you feel like you have to go back on a Whole30 or reset to feel better about yourself and reset your cravings, because that doesn't sound like true health to me. So here are a couple things that happen when you truly find your food freedom and stop kidding yourself. You don't need to do Whole30s or resets that often at all. Most of the time, you choose to eat the foods that you know make you feel your best. And honestly, this is what the Whole30 is great for finding out what those foods are. This is why reintroduction is so important, and I've already done podcasts on that. Anyways, so other times, you're actually going to choose to eat foods that don't make you feel your best, physically knowing full well how those foods or drinks will affect you. But maybe it's your grandmother's chocolate chip cookies that are full of gluten and dairy and sugar, but they're also full of the love she made them with, and you know you're going to have a great time making memories eating them with her. Or maybe it's a few glasses of wine when you go out for wine tasting to catch up with some friends that you haven't seen in a long time. So again, you're making memories and you're fulfilling what people call a spiritual or emotional or mental hunger, which is totally different than physical hunger, okay? And that can be healthy too. Or maybe it is some margaritas when you go to the beach, because there is no better combination than a margarita and laying on the sand in the beach, on the beach. But the thing is, you don't, when you truly find your food freedom, you don't beat yourself up for those choices. You don't feel like complete BS afterwards, and you don't feel the need to immediately do a Whole30 starting immediately tomorrow because you feel so out of control about your food choices. You know that when you go back to your regular way of eating, including mostly those foods that make you feel your best, which most likely are going to include a lot of Whole30 foods, you'll feel better in a few days, and you don't need to do a reset because you feel so out of control. Again, I'm not saying you should stop doing Whole30s forever or never do one again, but the next time you're thinking about doing one, just think long and hard about the real reason why you're doing it and if it's truly healthy for you right now. Boom, knowledge bombs. Okay, so I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I know there's probably going to be a lot of questions about this one, so feel free to either email me with your experience or DM me on Instagram or comment on this blog post and let me know what you think. I'm really sorry if you felt like I was shouting at you on this podcast, but as I was saying before, I get really, really heated about this stuff, especially because it now seems like everyone who's ever done a Whole30 is now a Whole30 expert. And the thing is, until you've come to this point in your journey where you don't feel like you need to do Whole30s all the time, you might not be giving other people the best advice, because if you're stuck in the middle of this on-again, off-again Whole30 cycle, by telling someone else to do that, you're actually hurting them more than you are helping them. So, for example, if you go on vacation, you're like, yeah, let's eat all the things. I'm gonna have all my like Starbucks drinks and all the pancakes and all the donuts, and like, I'm just gonna, you know, let my sugar dragon roar one last time because I know tomorrow I'm gonna start a Whole30. And then that person, you're taking advice from them. That is not good advice to give, and you should not take advice from that person. Okay, I'm gonna get really heated again, so I'm gonna stop. But let me know what you guys think of this podcast. I am totally open to doing more rant type episodes like this. Or if you have more questions about the Whole30 or any of this mindset kind of stuff, I'm definitely going to be digging more into this in future episodes. So let me know what you think, and I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to Real Talk with Dana. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your family and friends and share the love by throwing us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, which will help spread the word and do a small part to correct all of the fitness and nutrition misinformation or bullshit that's out there, which is only causing people to become more unhealthy. Come find me anywhere at Real Food with Dana on Instagram and Facebook. Join the Real Talk with Dana Facebook group for more support and discussion on these episodes. And come hang out over on realfoodwithdana.com for the show notes and totally epic and delicious recipes.